Welcome to the Femi Pod. These conversations are for women runners that go beyond running. Brought to you by your Femi founders, Lydia O'Donnell and Esther Kewen. Welcome back to the Femi Pod for episode 122. We are joined by the amazing Alicia Loverich, one of our good friends and a leading sports photographer in New Zealand. Alicia has been immersed in sport since the age of five, with a future in athletics seemingly set until an injury changed her course. Sidelined during the 2013 Auckland Championships, she turned her creative eye to the track, capturing the determination and emotion of her fellow athletes. That moment sparked a new passion for storytelling through the lens. Alicia has since gone on to shoot some of the world's top athletes at global events, including the Olympic Games, and we are so excited to chat with her today about her experiences and what it is like to be a woman in an industry surrounded by men. Leish, welcome to the Femi Pod. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, thanks. Excited to chat to you.
Bio was amazing. I might steal that. People always ask, like, what's your bet? And I'm like, I don't know.
Didn't Google that to pull it together. We knew all of that just off the back of our friendship. But yes, we're very excited to be here with you today. It's been a long time coming. We've obviously been friends with you for years and years and years, and we're excited to bring your experience to the Femi community. Even though the community is mostly about running, you are a big part of that, being someone who captures kind of the essence of our sport. So you've actually photographed so many of our Femi shoots. I want to give a shout out to a lot of the imagery that you've produced for Femi too. But let's go right back to the start and chat about you as a young girl and what sort of impact sport had on you growing up.
So when I was younger, I remember my first sport kind of exposure was near my grandma's house. There's a tennis club. And I remember walking by and being like, oh, I want to play. So I did. I didn't actually last long because how they did tennis then was, like, I was 5 years old and I wanted to play, and they just, like, how to hit a ball, like, it was just drills, and so there was, which I guess, like, on paper makes you a better player, but as a kid, like, I barely played. I didn't really get as much of, like, the friendship and the community, like making friends. Like, I mean, like what they now knowing what I know in sport and being involved, like around it for so long, and everyone's actually saying the best way to get better is to play. Now I'm like, they should have had like half of the training, like half an hour of drills and then half an hour of just play. And who cares if you're shit? Just hit it. Like, we, like, kids will figure out how to hit a ball if you just like try. So that was like my first experience of sport, but it didn't really, like, I didn't let it like bring me down too much, because my dad is really into sport, and when I was younger he would just hit a ball with me. And like, so at my family home, the garage door, if you look at it in the light, there is every single ball imprint possible to man on that garage door. You can see the, like, the little, like, divots of, like, a basketball, or, like, the lines of a football, or, like, the seams of a cricket ball. It's all on the garage door. I never had the throw like a girl kind of, like, mentality ever. Like, I grew up with a brother, and I grew up with a dad who was also, like, a child. My poor mother. Also, we've broken so many things in the house.
So was it because you were breaking so many things at home that you got pushed into athletics, something that you could really only do outside?
No, like, I feel like mum and dad never, dad didn't care. Mum, who runs my house, was like outside only. So that was more like getting us outside. But I think my next thing was, we were always, like, my brother and I were always pretty fit and fast, and it was, like, school athletics day when we were young, and I was 8, and somebody pointed out to me that you should, like, to my parents, like, oh, you should put your kids into athletics. And so that was my athletics journey started when I was 8 years old, and I'm now 31 years old and I'm still in the sport. So that was like, and that was fun. You just kind of run races and you try every event and stuff like that. But I played so many sports growing up. My brother went to play soccer down the road from my grandma's house. And I remember going there. He was 5 and I must have been 7, 8, 9, anyway. And I hated going and watching. Like, I wanted to join in so bad. And so when cricket season came up, I was like, I'm going to play because I'm not going to just sit and watch. And I was the only girl in an all boys team. And my parents never saw that as a thing. And my dad was like, you just got to be better. Like, that was literally like, it was never this. And so we did. We went to the nets. We played. And like, to the point where I remember first joining that team. And obviously, like, you're going to get some people be like, you're a girl. And then, but because, yeah, I had such supportive parents and like my brother and stuff, and we play in our front yard, that I actually, it was as soon as I started playing, the guys were like, oh. And I was quite often the only girl for a lot of things in primary school. Like, we have the first 11 primary school, I was the only, like, football team in primary school, I was like the only girl. Instead of being like, I'm the only girl, like, my parents were like, you'll be better. Like, it's going to make you better. I know, like, when my brother and I used to play and my dad and stuff, no one went easy. Like, it wasn't like no one went easy on me. And our neighbors, who we're still friends with, they had kids like a little bit older than us, and we used to all play. And we just played, like, my whole childhood, we just played. And so, kind of like, maybe giving me such a foundation is like, my whole life is kind of like, nothing's going to get handed to you. You have to earn every spot, every team, or like, you know, when you're running and stuff, like, you have to work. If you don't train, you'll suck. If you train, you still might suck. Like, you know, like, if we train our ass off to try win, or like get a good PB, or kind of run our best time, we still might not get it. But if you don't do anything, well, you're not. So I've taken all that to like my working life, in the same vein as like, if I hustle and I try as hard as I can, and everything I try, like, always aiming for our next race, or like, for me now, comp, to feel better than the last one. That's like the same, like, in photography, my next photo is my best photo. Always trying to see what else can I do that's cool. Like, always try, push. Yeah, like, if you do all that, you still might not get some of those big gigs, but at least you've done everything you can, and it kind of makes you a little bit, like, hard to catch, whereas, like, you get a lot of people who feel just because they have, I don't know, degree or something, they can get this other thing straight away. But it's like, no, like, life is like sport. If you try, yeah, you might get it, but if you don't try, that likelihood of getting those dreams or whatever is, like, fully diminished.
Mm.
Yeah. I went on a massive tangent. I'm so sorry.
I think everything you're saying makes so much sense as to, like, where you are in your career now, and the way that you speak about being a woman in sport and being a woman photographer in sport as well, which we definitely want to get more into. But it's really interesting hearing about your childhood and that mentality of, like, I'm just going to go and play with the boys and not complain about it and just see how good I can get competing against them. I feel like when I've spoken to a lot of elite athletes who are potentially playing in sports that were always seen as, in quotation mark, boys sports, they have always been the young girls who have grown up with brothers, or like young girls who have like thrown themselves into the game with boys. And then because they're playing against people who potentially have a physiological advantage, they just like get better at what they do. And it feels like that was very similar for you.
Yeah, that was definitely my childhood. And even just going all through my sport life, it's just being like, well, I'll just work hard. And then, so.
I love that. I feel like it removes that bias that exists in so many people's minds that, you know, we can't keep up with the boys. Like, and it taught to us in society that that is the way it is. But then, like you say, Leish, you had no fear. You were like, if I work hard, like, I can be in these teams and I can compete with the boys, no questions asked. So really love that. I feel like that's such a cool way to live.
You're a child, eh? Like, you're just like, why can't I play? Like, actually, really interesting on a side note, have you seen this thing? It's like, you throw like a girl.
Yes.
Right? And I was just like, I never understood that. I don't know how you throw like that. Like, I actually genuinely, I'm like, I'm so confused. And I think it's because, yeah, like, having that play lifestyle, having that, like, you know, just getting right in there. So it's like, I can throw a ball. Like, I don't know how to not throw a ball. Because, yeah, like, it's like, and someone goes to me, like, do you throw like a girl? I remember being a kid and being like,
yeah. Like, what does that actually mean? Yeah, I throw like me and I'm a girl and I throw really well. Thanks for that. Thank you for that compliment. I feel like, firstly, for those listening, and Leash, you will know this, me and Leash actually used to train together hard out under our coach at Bay's Babes. And that was when Leash was very much a runner. So we were training for the 800 together, and yeah, we would show up to trainings and stuff. And then, yeah, you mentioned how you got into athletics as a young queen, but I'm not sure if people know that Leash is actually a pretty competitive pole vaulter now. I'd love to hear how you made that transition and, like, what about athletics, like, drew you in initially, and then why you went from running to pole vault of all things, which when I look at pole vault, I think it's quite scary.
That's stupid.
Yeah. So how do you make that transition?
Well, so I guess, like, this was actually hard. So you know how, like, you kind of put your identity in your sport, and, like, which is dangerous, because then when you get injured, it's like, who am I? And, like, I knew, but because, like, I was always the athlete growing up. Like, if I had two pillars of, like, who I called myself, it was an athlete and an artist. So when I went all through school, like, I had to, like, cut sports, which was hard. Like, in intermediate school, I played every sport under the sun just to get out of school, I feel. And then it went out of school and I had to, you know, cut down. And eventually I landed on athletics and I did fours. So 400 was my thing. And my last year of school, I got injured. And classic case, like, I was actually a classic case of I peaked at school. And which, like, looking back, you know, it did shape me into who I am, but it wasn't because I was overtraining, if anything like that. Like, I had a very play mentality. It was actually because when I started training hard, I'm an idiot. And I just go, I must finish what's on this page. Like, no one pushed me. Like, I just did it. And then I wonder why I broke. So I 400, I got injured, started coming back. I moved from my club to a sprint coach, Russ Hoggard, who's unfortunately no longer with us today, but he definitely shaped me. He was actually one of the big supporters into my photography career, like one of my first cheerleaders, and like kind of like, you could take this the whole way. So God bless him. But I started training with them and I started doing fours and then migrating to 800. And I never, like, I trained really hard, but I never actually got back to the speed I was at school before I was injured. And I kept moving up. I kept changing. And then I think Paul and Russ talked to each other. I was like, oh, she might benefit from this, like, community environment. Yeah, I just kept having, like, oh, it was, like, years and years where, like, I wouldn't make the season because I'd overtrain or stuff like that. And I've just had so many years of never getting back to what I was. I just kind of had, like, a quarter-life crisis and went, fuck it. And my friends are vaulters, and I remember being with, I was just at the track training, and my friend Kerry Charlesworth was doing sandpit pole work. And I was just like, oh, can I have a go? Simultaneously, I was working a lot with Athletics New Zealand, and, like, for them, pole vault was very popular now. And, like, having to shoot it more, and, like, the fear eliminated because I'd seen it so many times. And for me, it looked so natural because I had, like, 1,000 images. And then one, yeah, I just went, fuck it. I picked up a pole and never looked back.
Wow, that's a crazy story to think that you got into pole vault because of your photography. I kind of thought maybe it was the other way around. But let's talk about how you actually got into photography then, because I thought it would have been like running pole vault athletics and then into photography. Ah. But Like, when was the moment you first picked up a camera? And when you did that, did you ever imagine it could turn into the career that you have now?
No, I had no interest growing up in photography. I was like, yeah, going back to like talking about my pillars. Like, I was an artist. Like, I like drew. I thought I wanted to go in illustration, maybe art direction, maybe work, advertising, I don't know, something. So I pursued graphic design at uni, and in year one, it's compulsory. Photography is compulsory. And I remember being pissed off because they just made us buy a new laptop and they just made us buy the software. And now they're like kind of like inadvertently going like, you probably need a camera because we've only got three. And I remember being really, really pissed off. So I just bought some camera. I asked all my friends, what brand is the best for stupid people? Like, what is easy to use? And they all recommended Canon, which is hilarious because now I'm sponsored by Canon. So that's why the start of my, everyone asked, what's the start of your Canon journey? I was like, that. And I still love it because I don't, it's easy. It's like an extension of my arm. Perfect. Anyway, so thank you. Thank you, Canon. Anyway, and so I started, picked up the camera, and I actually fell in love with the medium straight away. It was all, everything I learned in, like, when you're an artist, so, like, composition, design, color, everything. And photography technically is 2D space, so, like, a picture is flat, right? 3D art is, like, interior design, sculpture, spatial design, set design, stuff like that. Painting, graphic design, motion design, that's all, well, not motion, but yeah, all that stuff, that is flat. So all the principles that apply to 2D space apply to all 2D space. So suddenly every single thing I had known, like, my whole life was transferable in this immediate medium. You know, like, I have an idea in my head, I had to sketch it out, this looks shit, move on. But if you photography, it's instant kind of like feedback of what's in this strange mind of mine. And I loved it straight away. I actually, going through design school, I wanted to step away from sport because I was like, that's all who I know. I need to broaden my creativity. So again, like, are safe? Like, I'm wondering, is that athlete mentality? You know, like, you've got, like, the easy way out would have been just do, like, sport-related assignments and stuff like that. But I was like, nah, I need to push past my comfort zone. Like, this is easy. Joke's on me. Almost all my work is in sport now. But as a student, I wanted to, like, see how I went. This was in my first year, and I was like, yeah, I want to push my creativity past. So all my first photography assignments wasn't sport-related. But I loved the medium. It was amazing. But where sport came in, I was injured again in 2013. What, yeah, you mentioned before, it was like Auckland Champs. And then Nationals was in Auckland in 2013 in Mount Smart. Took that camera that I learned at uni and I brought it to the track to take photos of my friends. And do you remember back in the day, like that time, we used to upload full albums to Facebook. Oh my God. Of like Nights Out, or like where you'd upload an album to Facebook. So I did that, but I changed it to public and tagged my friends. My friends tagged their friends. And then I did that. I'm not sure. Auckland Champs got pretty good traction, but Nationals got insane traction because obviously there's a lot more people and everything. And I wasn't in the arena. I was outside. Like, I would just walk around and yep. Take pictures and yep, Athletics Auckland saw it and they said to me, hey, this is amazing. Like, they knew who I was, you know. And they're like, can you, you're more than welcome to go in the field, which is huge because like athletics is kind of dangerous. Like, you don't just let any Tom, Dick and Harry inside the field to play. But they're like, well, you run, like, we've seen you for years here. Like, you know how things work. Just don't be stupid. So I did that, went and then there was like, so I used to do that when I was not running. Like, I'd just bring my camera, you know, take pictures of my friends, just like have some fun. And Athletics Auckland asked me, there was an event called Auckland Grand Prix. And they asked, like, can you shoot it? And like, they had no budget, but they were like, look, we got no budget, like, up to you. But like, I took that. So a lot of, like, I'm seeing this now online. And a lot of, like, maybe younger kids might not, though, all I want to get paid off the bat. Whereas I took that as like a hell yeah, like let's see what I can do, stuff like that. And so I shot the whole thing and I got shoulder tapped by Athletics New Zealand. So that was kind of like how they got on my radar, like I got on their radar. I went through the season, so not much was happening. And then my last assignment, I started photographing 21st. It was great. My photography at uni sucked. Like, sucked. Like, even, oh my God. Like, I remember my tutors were kind of like trying to be nice, but like, you're shit. Like, it was, like, I look back now and I go, how the hell? Like, anyway, so did all that. My last in design school, like, you have like a final project and you can pretty much do whatever you like, but you have to, like, there's like some restraints, like some refinements or some shit. And so I decided I would be stupid and do a frame by frame animation. Like, Eliza McCartney just won bronze at World Juniors, and that was fresh. And we always get trained by the same coach. And I just straight up was like, that will do. Like, I literally was like, okay, I've got class. I need to have an idea. I'll just do that. I'll figure it out. And I did, like, the day before, like, I figured out, like, okay. I asked her, like, would it be okay? And I just winged some idea. I asked her coach, and he gave me a hard drive of footage. So I just stole all that. And I did, it's on the internet somewhere. I did, like, sketch by sketch animation, and it was about being more than a stat, and it was actually about eating disorders, and it was like, you know, kind of like be more than a statistic, like how many women, like how many girls suffer from eating disorders and stuff, because I drew it, and as like it was kind of like following her training, and as training went on, I had like a scene of like plants growing to grow a human. And it was like, kind of like, don't be a statistic, you create yourself. I wanted to say grow yourself, and I'm pretty sure that was a Nike campaign. It was called Grow Yourself. So I was like, fuck, I can't use that. So I just made up something else. And I did that, and it turned into the clip of her jump that was like, it was a New Zealand record at the time, and it got bronze at World Juniors, which is huge. And I used the sound, like I drew the clip, and then I used the sound, which was cool. And then it ended like that, and it was like kind of this big reveal and stuff. So that killed me. But Athletics, another person in Athletics New Zealand saw that, straight up emailed me and was like, do you want to do contract design work for us? And I was like, yes. So that's when I started working for them. And in the same vein, they're like, wait a minute, you're that person Brett talked to about photography. I was like, oh yeah, that's me. And that's literally, so 2015, summer 2015, I shot paid. My first paid sporting gig was the first Sir Graham Douglas International, which was called Auckland Track Challenge, the first meet. That was my first paid sporting gig. I don't know what happened. Everything just snowballed. Other sports saw me, or other things, like people wanted pictures here, and then like I kind of just have winged my whole career.
I wouldn't say it's winging your career at all. You're just so talented at what you do. And you not only, and we were speaking about this earlier, not only are you incredibly good at taking photos, you also know the history of athletics, and it is a sport with so much history, and that really matters when it comes to storytelling. And I think what people probably underestimate is the importance of imagery to tell stories, and I think you're so good at that, and portraying the feeling and emotion in sport is so powerful, because sport not only inspires others to do other sports or athletes to compete, I think it inspires the world to like chase their big goals, you know. And I think that's like really incredible when you just get that from a photo. So like, what is it about shooting sport that you truly love?
Literally just that. It's like, what I love about photos is it is capturing like that essence of something in a moment, and you're capturing like the raw triumph, the emotion, you know, the athleticism. Like, I love being, it's like encapsulating like a single insane moment forever. That's what I love about it. Like, my favorite images are always the emotive ones. I love cool arty like action shots, like combining, like, you know, making it like an artistic thing or something. But I do love those like raw emotive shots that kind of, yeah, make you feel something. Exactly what you were saying, like, that is sport. Sport teaches you life. And then, yeah, just being a captioning that is amazing. And kind of like when you're shooting, like, because I do like either like whether I'm doing like staged work or I'm doing like event work where you are capturing that moment, it's really special when you're like in it and like you get to experience it in a way that no one else experiences it. Like on TV, you can see close, right? But you can't feel the atmosphere. Whereas when you're a photographer, you feel the atmosphere, but you see it right up close with those lenses. And it's also like, it also becomes a game for us too. It's sport for us too. We treat it like sport, just little things. Like you have to anticipate the play. You have to like preempt like your next move. You have to, you know, be able to read what's going on. It's like the same thing. And so
that must be, yeah, like quite challenging because, yeah, you've got to be in the right place at the right time to capture that one moment of emotion. But yeah, like what you were saying before about storytelling, lads, and like, and you, Leash, about like loving the emotive shots. Like, I think, yeah, you just, when you see that raw emotion in someone and you, I guess, you get a glimpse into what it means to them and probably, you know, thousands upon thousands of hours and moments that have built to that one moment in time. And like, you know, they've finally got that goal that they've been going for so long. I feel like that must be such a privilege to see up close. Oh. Like we kind of see it through your work, but yeah, it must be amazing.
Yes, like I, okay, so, you know, even, this is not even a, like big events and stuff, like marathons, like at the finish line, and you don't know what everyone's been through. Like, you know, so many people are going through that. I cry every time I'm working it. Like, I like secrets out, but like, because you see it and it's like they've just finished this most insane feat, and it's like you can kind of, you see how much it means to them. And I try to catch that because I, and my, the best feedback I can get when someone goes, your picture made me cry, and I was like, ah, save.
Totally, totally. You're capturing like, yeah, that raw emotion and sharing it with other people, you know, through your screen or however they're seeing it. But no, I totally relate. I've been to some finish lines and actually been in it and yeah, cried as well. I love it. I'd love to chat about like being a woman in a male dominated industry. So for Paris, across both the Olympics and Paralympics, there was 596 photographers registered to be accredited, 133 were female and 463 were male. So only 22% of the recent Olympic Games. So I imagine that's probably one of the better years over the time.
I thought it was more. Is that the number?
I think so. Is that right, Liz?
That there were more women photographers in Tokyo, which is unfortunate. We've gone kind of in the wrong direction.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. But yeah, I'd love to like know, like alongside those stats, but like you as your personal experience, like how has it been being a woman in a male dominated industry? And, you know, those stats are the most recent, and in the past, I'm sure it was much, much less. So you've been, you know, experiencing that throughout the years. How is that for you, or how's it been for you?
Oh, wow. So I don't know that. Like, no, I thought about more photographers in general, but like, I don't know. We were down from Tokyo, like growing up as a kid, right? I never saw it as a thing. So I never saw it personally as a barrier. Like I wouldn't go, I would just like, photo, work is work, like let the work do the talking. And I'm really grateful I have that mentality because I think it reflects when I work. Like, also like, I think people figure out I'm larger than most of the guys overseas. And it's so funny because like New Zealand's pretty good. Actually, here's a stat. So in like media contingent, so every country gets like their own like allocation and stuff like that. We were the only country who had 50-50. That kind of made me aware, like being part of a country that is very equal like that. And so like in New Zealand and stuff, I think because athletics, if I was like a photographer for another sport, I reckon I would have seen some like, you know, some like kind of like misogyny or maybe like, you know, stuff like that. But I'm lucky because I was in a sport that was pretty even and I was in the sport too. So I think it's almost one of those things where if you have outsider come in who is sexist, it was almost like, what are you going to say to me? I actually do the sport. So it's kind of like it was already a little bit of like, because this was my world. And then luckily I was able to grow that within. And then like when I went to other sports and stuff, so I started working for like a photo agency. And then that's how I kind of got my name out there for other sports, how I got known by the New Zealand Olympic team and stuff. But because I've already grown like a little bit of a name within athletics, it did help going into other sports. I look back and I feel very fortunate because every time I'd step out in like an arena for New Zealand or something like that, the guys who were there were very supportive. Like almost like you can see, like I would have been like 23. So it's not like they saw I was young, but it wasn't like what do you know? Like I know other people get this. But I didn't when I first started, and I'm so grateful. And I had these guys who were like, are my friends now? And they'd be like, oh, hey, like, who are you shooting for? To them, they're probably like, oh, thank God. Like, it's nice to have some different flavor in here. And I still talk to them and stuff, and it was never like everyone had their own job. I was like, oh, who are you shooting for? I was like, oh, cool, I'm shooting for this. So like, real good community. And I was quite lucky, but yeah. I actually noticed, so the professionals in New Zealand were brilliant. The only time you would get someone would be like a hobbyist trying to be a professional. Like the professional guys, like sports photographers in New Zealand are like great, you know? And then it was when another one came in. And as I got older, I grew less of a fuck.
Yeah, the confidence you carry in your profession is so important. And I think that's what's really helped you in terms of like showing up and like you said, not giving a fuck and just doing the job that needs to get done. But also like having those male allies around you is so incredible and so important to help all women, you know, help women build a bigger voice, no matter what industry you're in. I think having male allies is so crucial. But what else do you think we can do to get more women into sports photography?
Visibility. Like I entered it by accident, but it's almost like, I don't know if people see more. So like it's visibility, like literally, and New Zealand's doing it good. Like we are like, yes, there is still a difference, you know, with like how many women are on the sideline. But one of the main staff photographers for Getty Images, Hannah Peters, you know, she's like, she goes everywhere and stuff. And she's one of their top dogs and stuff and like super talented. And so it's kind of like visibility is key and just kind of showing more that it doesn't matter. And like, even like, I don't know, like even like the guys, like the allies, so important. Like they even go like, I don't give a shit as long as the photo's good. And people had to say like, we respect you because you also don't care. So it's kind of like visibility and stuff like that. Even important when you do get the odd person. So the only time I have received maybe a little bit of something is overseas, you know, and it's like in Europe, Paris, you know. But when you get your male allies, you have a backing and you're more confident to kind of do stuff, you know? But yeah, I guess visibility, just showing it can be done, showing like it's not all scary, you know? We're seeing more out there kind of like, and like how, especially in this like very like fetal stage of getting more women out there, things like, you know, like, hey, like this is like, for me, it's an advantage right now because it's like, there is so many guys out there, but like I'm in a position where it's like the tall, loud girl in New Zealand is me.
Also, like women's sport is just so on the rise, you know, and the fact that women's sport is taking over, of course, we're going to want women photographers shooting women athletes and just like understanding that kind of relationship between the athlete and the photographer, I think is important. But you spoke about visibility and not just visibility for women photographers or women sporting photographers, Also, just women athletes, we know there's just always been this like historical inequality between women and men when it comes to sport. And I know that in a recent study, only 15% of sports media actually told stories of women athletes. And photography is obviously such a massive part of that as well. So knowing that you're doing the work you're doing in sport as a photographer and the rise of women's sport, I think it's a really exciting place for you to be.
Yes, definitely. And just being like, yeah, like a pioneer almost, trying to elevate like the profiles of those athletes and stuff, like definitely. And even with the rise like of more like professional leagues for women. I'm gonna talk to my dad about this. So I was like a decent footballer growing up, but when I was younger, if you had to make, you want to make it, you had to go to the States. Whereas now we have the Women's Phoenix team, so that pro team here. We're probably gonna, I assume we're gonna get an Auckland pro team. And even like dad and I were like, would you have stuck with it if like you knew that was an option? And I was like, shit, I might have. And it's just growing, even like with the like rugby girls, like it is like everything's growing. And like the ladies that together, they do so much amazing work at just elevating the game. And I feel like, yeah, like it's just showing it off. Like I feel like it's so like you have like, yeah, 15%. Half the time people might not even know what's so awesome like out there in the world and stuff. I'd love to know a New Zealand stat actually, because I kind of feel like we're decent.
Helen's stat, I remember seeing it from a few years ago, was around 12%, I believe. Okay. I don't think it was very good, but I think that was maybe like 5 or so years ago, and I couldn't find that.
I definitely saw something recently where it had jumped into the desk, I think. We should probably find that out.
We'll put these media channels like Locker Room, who are doing such an amazing job. And like the Female Athlete Project here in Australia is another channel that's specifically built just to tell women athlete stories, which is so important. You know, I feel like having those channels really highlighting these women is not just pushing back on traditional media channels that exist, but also helps the athletes to build their own platforms, and then the athletes can tell their own stories, which I think is the most powerful tool.
Yes, and that's the thing. Like, girls are amazing. It's one of those things where, like, show them off. Like, people are starting to follow, like, personalities, you know? Like, people follow and they find out who this athlete is. And they're like, you're hilarious. I'm going to keep following. Like, I love you. Like, it's like, you know, people are like you. And you. I feel like these athletes are so, like, kind of in the age of, like, content now, social media. So, like, my role has definitely, like, evolved. And, like, I try catch a for like the athlete in mind as well. It's like for them, growing a platform for them is huge, and getting those personalities. And then, but also I guess like brands have a pretty pivotal role in this too, you reckon? Like just kind of like here, like I don't know what the word is, making
definitely
them a hero.
heroing male athletes as much as they are the male athletes, which I think brands are definitely getting better at. You yes. can see the brands that are more, I guess, masculine focused. And if their product's obviously built for men, then that makes sense. But for companies that are building products for everybody, then you definitely want women to be at the forefront too. But Esther, did you have those stats?
Oh, yes.
Yes, yes. I just did a quick Google. It was 15% in 2020, 26% in 2023, but then 2023 itself is the first year where it has not improved year on year. So it's definitely gone better, but like that's still such a crappy number, 26%.
All right, well, we're getting there. Baby steps.
Lots of room for improvement. Love it. Leish, last question, which I think is a cute one to finish up. Favorite moment in your career as a photographer?
All right, so like kind of my first major. Right, my first major was the World Championships in London in 2017. So it was Usain Bolt's last race, and the stadium, London Olympic Stadium, which is like Queen Elizabeth Stadium, West Ham United Stadium, huge thing. Like, I don't know the numbers, the biggest stadium I've ever seen. It was his last race, and you know, like when they shush everyone on the start, normally like it's shush enough, right? But I don't, maybe it was like 60,000 or something, but having that many people, and it was so quiet, like it went like absolutely deadly silent to the point if someone farted, the whole stadium would hear it. Like, I've never experienced something like that. And it was like literal calm before the storm. And then it went like nuts. I also have another, my second one was, this was at Comm Games in Birmingham 2022. And like, I'm gonna wreck her name. The Scottish UK runner who won the 10K.
McLaughlin.
Yes, yes. When she, my gosh, again, full stadium packed up. It's not as big as London to Birmingham, but they had like temporary stands. And like when she was winning, you could see like, and I'm like inside and goosebumps thinking about it. I lost my hearing because I couldn't hear like myself think. And she, the final lap, and you could see almost like a Mexican wave of people standing and like screaming around the whole track. Like you saw it, like you just saw like all these people go up and like losing their shit. And then when she finished, it was like the whole stadium, because this is home games, right, lost their shit. And I was like, I guess, women's sport, guys. Like, literally, everyone like, and it was like absolutely nuts. And then I've had a few, like, yeah, really special campaigns as well. Like, I did a campaign for Puma, and it was celebrating the first, like, New Zealand football team. They had to fund their way everywhere, and they won, I think, Asian Cup or something. Like, they would train after work with the floodlight of, like, using the car lights so they could see. And, like, I know. And so they're older now, and we did a campaign highlighting them. And it was, like, I remember talking to them, and it was, like, one of the ladies played at the same club as me. And, like, I, like, kind of was, like, and they were, like, nervous going in. And I was, like, oh, it's me. Like, I don't know if you saw that campaign, but it was, like, New Zealand versus Australia rematch. And I was, like, no, we're going to show you off. Because I was, like, you paved the path for me. And, like, she cried. I was, like, Ashley was, like, I'm going to cry now. You know, like, this is so cool. Because if you didn't do that, I wouldn't have my soccer opportunities. So yeah. It's kind of like that stuff was like really cool. Wow. And then, okay, my last one, which was the one I thought of first, was at the Olympics. I'm a pole vaulter. Like, I've been involved around those girls for so long. I've watched all of them grow up. And being in the stadium when we had all three qualify for the final was so cool. Yeah. So
I can imagine some of those experiences sound so wild and like, I know it's not normal, but for you, you must just be like, wow, I can't believe I've experienced some of like the pinnacle moments of our sport in the last 10 years. You've been there at the finish line watching them, or at the pole vault mat watching them do it. It's really cool. And what an incredible career you've had so far, but also what you've got to look forward to as well. So much to come with the rise of women's sport. So thank you much, Leish. We've absolutely loved chatting with you. We will tag Leish into our show notes so you can go ahead, follow her journey and see her incredible photography. But appreciate everybody listening today. If you have any questions, reach out to us on Instagram at femi.co, or us, Esther and I will be back in your ears next week. Thanks, Leish.
No, thank you so much. I've loved chatting with you guys. And yeah, thank you all for listening to my journey.
Thanks, Leish.
Bye.